they're always worried I'm going to fall down the stairs, but I'm never falling again in Jesus' name. Just saying. Okay. Come here, little Jesus. Don't look too close. Okay. Poor Jesus. He has been captured. I'm smothering. I'm better with the live ones, but this is a representation. So we're taking Jesus because, you know, according to our calendar, he isn't here yet. And so I want to make a point of that today because people are in anticipation of the day that we celebrate and we rejoice for what he has done. But some people never really understand the whole idea of what this is really about. And so we sang it today, but not all are living it. And so I'm going to tell you a funny story to start with, because I laugh so hard, but it's also sobering at the same time. Okay, so this young mother was on her way to pick up her kids from school. But it was a day where they had extra stuff at school, so she had extra time. So she went to the Wawa, which I can't believe that is the name of anything, but it is the name of a gas station and store, and people actually go there to eat. I can't even explain that, but okay. So she had extra time, so she went to Wawa. Okay, so she was like feeling what she called the Christmas magic. And she's like, this is so wonderful. There's something in the air, and everybody wants to give, and it's so nice. And so she's listening on her phone, and she's listening. She had time to sit and listen to the story that made her cry. And she got so excited, and she's like, this is touching my heart, and I got to do something. So she went into the store, and she bought herself a drink, and the lady behind her had a ginger ale. So she said, are you just getting a ginger ale? She wanted to make sure how much this was going to be. And she said, yes, I'm just getting the ginger ale. And she goes, I'm going to buy it for you. And the lady goes, why? And she goes, because it's Christmas magic. It's so wonderful. Don't you feel it in the air? This is so exciting. And so she's so excited. And the girl is excited. And they're just like, happy, happy. You know, this is wonderful to be able to give what Eric was talking about. And so she goes outside, she goes to her car, and she goes out, and there's this guy washing her windows. And she's like, oh, thank you. This is so awesome. I love humanity this time of year. It's just so different. Thank you so much for doing this for me. And then she looked up and realized it wasn't her car, it was his. And then he had just parked in front of her car. And so then she was like, oh my gosh. So she ran to her car, hysterical. And then she couldn't hardly do the FaceTime live, but she had to because she was making fun of herself. And she was laughing so hard. She couldn't even, she was crying. She was laughing so hard. And so she moved her car and parked in another space at Wawa and did Facebook Live. And talked about the Christmas magic. Okay, so I enjoyed that story. But I want to tell you this. She was so caught up in what she was feeling. She was assuming that everyone else felt like she did. And we as Christians do that. We get so excited about Christ is coming. He came. He did what only he could do. And we get so excited about that, and many of us just assume that everyone else understands what the true meaning of Christmas is. But we forget that this is such a awesome and yet serious time of year, and that we have to be the light to the world. Amen? And so we know from, and I got to tell you, you know how I told you people it ain't about Snoopy and it ain't about Mickey and it ain't about all of that? And so Jeff Dudley ran right out. He listened to my sermon. Yay, Jeff. Okay. And he went right out with all all the decorations they were going to have. He bought a nativity set. And I was so happy they were having a nativity set. But guess what happened? A neighbor came and put something in their mailbox and said, thank you. With a nativity ornament. I forgot that part. To say thank you because, and there's somebody in my neighborhood that has, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season in a nativity set. And I had already predetermined to knock on their door and thank them. Because it's not time for Christmas magic. It's time for us to understand the Savior came for us. Amen? And so I want to talk to you. We've been talking about, you know, the kingdom. And so I wanted to look at the familiar Christmas story a little bit different from a different perspective today. And I want to look at it from the perspective of this. How then do we receive our King? Let earth receive her King. What does that actually look like? How do we receive him? And so receive is an important word. It means to act as a receptacle. You receive it on the inside of you. You welcome it. You believe it. And then you can acquire it. And you can experience it. And so let's go to Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Say he was of the house of David. Okay, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, can you imagine? Okay, we read this like, and having come in, the angel said, you know, an angel's showing up to this young girl. She's probably between 14 and 16 years old. Okay? And he says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. This angel's name is Gabriel, and I'm sure she isn't used to talking to him. She's young, and she doesn't have any idea what in the world he's talking about. I mean, I'm favored, I'm blessed, but okay, she's planning on getting married, you know, so she's like, okay, I'm betrothed, and she's favored, and she's blessed. Okay. So when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. It means she was nervous and alarmed. She, wouldn't you be? Okay. And what does he mean? I'm favored and I'm blessed. So she's listening to an angel and he's saying very unusual things to her. And so the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, because she was afraid. And he said, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. She could calm down because this is good news that's coming to her. Okay. Behold, now here's the kicker. This is what I'm sure she wasn't expecting. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, her getting married, they probably would have got pregnant early. I mean, that's what they did back then. They got married, they got pregnant, they had babies. So even this isn't too shocking, except for the angel is naming the baby. Now, the angel has already been over to Elizabeth's house, and he's already named their baby, Zechariah, and he named him John the Baptist, who was going to prepare the way for the Lord. But Mary doesn't know this. So the angels are busy during the season, and they are talking to people because they are getting ready to set up something that is unprecedented in history but has been prophesied over many times. And so now she knows, okay, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a boy, and his name is Jesus. Okay, so it's happening to her. And she knows this is unconventional. She knows there's something different going on. This is, so Mary says, how? Now she's getting the understanding that he's not talking about a natural birth and a natural pregnancy. He is talking about something, because now he has come with the presence of God, And with the presence of God, she is beginning to understand past her normal understanding. And that's why she asks this question, how can it be since I don't know a man? She's like, I feel on the inside like you're telling me that I'm going to have a baby. You're naming him. And in this amazing presence, this is unusual. This is going to be supernatural. But how could this even be? Because I haven't even been with a man. Okay, so she's catching up. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This same Holy Spirit we've been studying about. The same Holy Spirit that we're talking about has all the power of God. The same Holy Spirit that has brought his kingdom to live on the inside of us. That same Holy Spirit that worked throughout all of the Old Testament and into the New and now lives on the inside of us. And he said this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. So what we see here is that the Holy Spirit and the Father are working together just like they did at creation. And when they come, the power of the highest is going to overshadow her. It means there's going to be like a brightness. There's going to be electricity. There is going to be like a shot that is going to happen. And in that atmosphere, they are going to bring and superimpose a baby on the inside of her in the glory of God, and he will be born, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, she doesn't know exactly how this is going to look, but she's starting to feel how this is going to feel, because this is a proclamation. This is a declaration. This is a prophetic word to her about what is going to happen in her life. And God is backing this by all of his power so that Mary can respond. So all of this they are saying to her, and I'm sure that since she was chosen and since she was favored, she has heard the stories of the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God came to Moses and how the Spirit of God delivered a whole people group because he was there performing great wonders and signs and miracles to set his people free. She had heard of Father Abraham. She had heard how God called him into the unknown and the promises that he made to his lineage, that all of the sons of the earth would be blessed through him. She had heard all of the stories about King David and what King David did and what King David had been promised by the Lord God himself, and that through him the generations would be blessed and his kingdom would never end. And so all of this must have been running through her, because this is a woman raised in a household, raised in a Jewish understanding, raised being told these stories over and over and over again, looking forward to a Messiah, to the Savior, to the one who is going to come. And he's calling him the Son of God. And she's excited because she doesn't even understand it all, but in the presence of the Lord, when the Lord is speaking, you know that you know that you know that if he's speaking it, nothing is impossible. Amen. So God sent this angel to say there's a new empowerment that is coming. It is the Son of God. It's going to be for you. It's going to come through you. And it will be the power of the highest. Okay. And verse 32, he will be great. Great is our Lord. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. This is changing everything. She's not just having a son. History is about ready to turn a page. History is coming to pass. The prophecies that have been spoken are now going to become reality. The prophecies that she's learned about all of her life. And the angel continues and he says, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there will be no end. We read this story every Christmas. And we read it like it's a Max Lucado writing. We read it like this is a normal story for us to read at Christmas time. But we need to understand that there is something that is so major that has occurred. And that all of the kingdoms of the earth are about to become kingdoms of our God. And his reign is going to be forever and ever and ever. And nothing can stop it. So let's look at some of what Isaiah said and what Mary could have been thinking about at that moment. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." Whew. A great exchange. The world will no longer be ruled by the government of the world. Not for believers. They'll be ruled by his government, and his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And of the increase of his government. Pause. In the increase of whose government? In the increase of his government, there's never going to be an end, because he knew what was going to happen with this great exchange. He knew that his kingdom was actually going to come into play. He knew that everything that they had prophesied, everything that had been stolen from the enemy in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve handed it to him, that the rule that came under the world system was now going to come under the kingdom and the government of God. And peace would be upon God's people who believed. And there would be no end to it. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even and forever. So can I say that there is a dividing line right there? They're defining what is going to happen. Isaiah the prophet is seeing prophetic eyes that what is really going to happen is there is a line being drawn, and it will change history. It will change every human being's ability from this point on. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts, that's who's going to do it. The zeal, the excitement, the ability of the Lord of hosts, they're going to do it. It's going to be done. Amen. So we have to realize that Jesus came as a king. People say he came as a man. Well, he came as a man. He came to be a man. But Jesus came as a king. Because he had a kingdom to bring. And he left all of heaven's glory. He left everything of majesty. I mean, I know we dream of heaven. We think we have some ideas of what heaven's going to be. But this was his dwelling place. He always was there. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. He always was along with the Father. He always was along with the Spirit. He didn't know anything other than what he saw humanity doing that was against the plan of God. And so he said, I'll go. But he never lost who he was when he became the Son of Man. Don't reduce Jesus to just somebody. He's not just somebody. He is a king. He brought a kingdom. He lived on purpose inside of a human life in order to prove that the kingdom can take you through to the other side of victory. that you can tap into what he's bringing so that you never have to live under this realm of the world's kingdom. Amen. And so he came, he chose to come to live as a man, to be tempted in every way like we are. He didn't leave anything out. He basically came and said, bring it on, because I'm going to win this for them. He did it sinlessly. Amen? So, he knew what he would bring. He would bring forgiveness, and he would bring restoration, and he would give the ability for us to be rightful heirs to the Father, but also rightful heirs to the kingdom of God. And in chapter 7 of Isaiah, it says this, verse 13. He said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you be weary? Will you weary my God also? And he's like, you're forgetting the important part, David. He's going, you're upset at people. You're weary with everything that's going on around you, like much of us. And he's saying, but are you going to be weary with God too? Are you going to get angry at him? Are you going to lose your hope in him? Do you understand what he said to you, David? Do you understand what the promises are to you? And he said, okay, Isaiah's like, let me tell you what's going to happen then. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here's the sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin having a baby. That happened once. It'll never happen again. And you're going to call his name this. In this prophecy, he doesn't call him Jesus. He calls him Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. He's saying, if I can prophesy this, if I can make this real, let me speak this. Let me declare this. Let me let the people dig and see what is really happening in Luke. When this all occurs, I want them to remember this, that this will be proven that a different kingdom is taking place because God is with us. Ultimately established forever through the lineage of David to the lineage of Jesus, through which there will be no end. So, dear Mary, dear little Mary, chosen, honored, and enlightened by the angel and by prophecies that were on the inside of her, knows that now she's going to be a participant of this. And so Mary's had to decide something right here, just like we all have to decide this. How is she going to receive her king? How is she going to receive it? How is she going to be a partaker? How is she going to be a container? How is she going to access it? And Mary said this, behold, the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Do you see it? Mary received her king by yielding her life to the will of the Lord. No matter how outrageous it seemed, no matter how impossible that was, no matter what the cost would end up being, no matter if it meant that Joseph wouldn't believe her, no matter if it meant that her neighbors would shun her, no matter if it meant her family disowned her, she didn't care because she said, oh, I am with this. Whatever I need to do to receive that king, do it. Are you getting this message today? Because so many of us say, oh yeah, come Lord Jesus, come. But then he comes and he has something to say to you. He wants to inhabit you in a different way. He wants you to respond in a way you've never responded. He wants to see if you're really going to let his kingdom come on the inside of you and to dwell with him and be with him. He wants to know if he is the final authority in your life. And he's looking for people right now that's going to say, I am your maid servant, or I am your son's servant, and I am going to serve you. Do to me whatever you want. That's how we receive our king. So, let's look at some other people who had to decide whether they were going to receive their king and how they did it. Luke 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds, just normal guys. Just kind of a job where you get to know one another, hang out with sheep. I mean, that's what they're doing. And they're watching over their flock. I did a whole sermon on this once, but it's amazing what shepherds actually do. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And then all of a sudden, when the angel came, the glory of God came, and it was shining all around them. So here they are out in a field, and all of a sudden, boom, there's an angel. And then, boom, the glory of the Lord comes. And guess what? They're afraid too. Because wouldn't you be? And so the angel spoke to them to give them good news as well. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born unto you this day and in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A baby in Bethlehem, the very one that they've heard about. A Savior. You see, they were really good passing things from generation to generation. They made sure that they talked to the next generation about the Savior that was going to come. And then when that generation passed away, the next generation said, there's a Savior and he's coming. And they talked about the prophetic words, and they talked about what they should look forward to, and they talked about what he would do, and everybody knew he was going to set up a new kingdom. And so they passed it from generation to generation, but I hope we're doing that. I hope we will take the message of Jesus and what this really means and pass it to the next generation, that they would be able to say it with not only conviction, but with total understanding of what we're talking about here. Understanding that this is, do you know how hard it is for all of the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ to come to pass? They said you could take all of Texas and put quarters like this thick, and you would have to go over and pick the right one up in the middle of the whole land in order to understand that that's how impossible it would be. And yet, God has woven the scriptures together so beautifully, spoken through all different kinds of prophets, spoken and had all of the people that wrote the Bible write it down so precisely so that we don't have to wonder if this is true. We can access him and know that it is true. And so, don't be afraid. Here he's coming in Bethlehem. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's pretty specific. Wow, that was a hard word. Isn't it? And suddenly, I love this part. There was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Don't you always think that it's just a bunch of angels singing? A bunch of them came like to join in this. But look closely. It says, with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Who is the heavenly host? I don't know. Maybe it's all angels. Or maybe for that moment in time, God let the whole ones that had been there before begin to praise his name. And so they were saying this, glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, because they knew what was going to happen. Finally, peace was going to come between man and God. Finally, there was going to be a reconciliation, goodwill towards men. The goodness of God was about ready to appear. The goodness of God that causes men to come to repentance. Another one of those videos I'm going to ask for when I get to heaven. If God includes shepherds in such a wonderful moment, he will include us in the understanding of it. And so a Savior had come. Angels got excited. Shepherds got excited. But now it's up to the shepherds, isn't it? How are they going to receive the king? Are they going to receive the king? What are they going to do with this announcement? Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now. They didn't say, let's figure out if this is true. Let's do a Bible study. You know, let's figure out if this is going to cost us anything. Let's just find out. I don't know. I mean, this is weird. Have you ever had an experience like this before? What if we're wrong? What if this is just some kind of weird thing? No. They said, let's go right now. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and look at what they said. And see this thing that has come to pass, that the Lord has made known to us. They are now operating not only in, they had full faith. They had full faith that what they were told was coming had already come to pass. They believed there was a baby. They believed that he was in Bethlehem. They believed that the Lord had come, and they got excited and they headed on down the road. They were going to receive their king. They weren't waiting. They weren't pausing. They weren't discussing. They weren't doubting. They were going. Say going. Okay. So they came with haste, ran on down the road. Wonder what they did with all the sheep. They had to take them. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, this is the answer that the world was waiting for. And here they are with their own eyes. They are beholding the Lord. They saw him just lying there, knowing, though, what was going to happen. They knew the answer had come. It doesn't say how long they were there. I just wonder, like, if they had conversations. Like, did they talk to Mary about, you know, their angelic visitation? Did she talk to them? I mean, don't you wonder these things? We read the Bible like it's just, you know, words on a page telling us a story. But think about it. I mean, they come, they're like, they show up. Mary and Joseph are there. They had to say, man, we're just shepherds, but we're out there in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And Mary goes, oh my gosh, an angel showed up to me too. I mean, what did he tell you? He told us this is the Son of God. She goes, that's what he told me. Guess what? I just gave birth to it. I mean, I don't know how it went. But you know they didn't just sit there and have this little, you know, happening and nobody was excited about it. I mean, we would be like high-fiving, but I don't know what they did back then. But we would be excited, wouldn't we? I mean, wow, people are having supernatural experiences and all of the prophecies are coming to pass and it's inside this baby. And his name is Jesus. They received their king by going. They received their king by beholding and believing. But then they did something else. Verse 17. And when they had seen him, that means it doesn't say when they looked at him. And when they looked at him, because you can look all you want at Jesus, but until you see him, you haven't seen him. Okay. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They were the first crazy missionary people. They got all charged up. They're like, do you understand? I mean, we had this experience, and then we went, and then we found the baby, and this is what God said about this baby, and this is concerning the child, and this is prophecy fulfilled. And they go, man, the Savior has come, the Savior has come, the King has come, the Savior has come, the King has come. Something is about ready to happen. It is going to change our whole life. It's going to change the atmosphere. I mean, they were excited, and they had something to go tell somebody about. And here we are. And we have to be those people. We have to be the same kind of excited, on-purpose people that go around saying, do you understand what this is really about? Do you understand this is Christmas time? Do you understand this is about the Christ? Do you understand that God has come to be with us? Do you understand what his name means? Do you understand that his kingdom is here? Do you understand that your life can be transformed in a moment of time if you just go and see him? Because he makes himself available to every single person. And so they spread the good news of Jesus Christ, which we know is the good news of the gospel. They were never going to forget. So then there's another group of people. They're going to show us how to receive our king. And these are wise men. Look at someone and tell them, wise men are wise. I'm going to tell you how wise they are. Okay. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they said, where is he who has been born, what? King of the Jews. Now, these people have also heard and studied. These are they're called wise. I can't go into all of that, but just trust me. They're wise men that have much knowledge, much natural knowledge that they have acquired about this. And for we have seen his star in the east. Now they knew there was going to be a star appear that was going to draw them to where he would be. They're wise. And what have they come to do? Worship him. That's why they're so wise. Wise men receive their king by worshiping him. I'll just let that sink in. Where is the king of the Jews? Where is the king? Where is the one that my heart wants to worship? We can only receive him if we receive him in a way that we don't displace him or what he's done. We don't dummy him down to be just another way. You know, people call themselves Christians, but then they say things like this. But if you also believe with all your heart in Buddha, or if you believe with all your heart in Muhammad, or if you believe with all of your heart in X, Y, and Z, then God knows your heart, and he's a God of love, and you'll be okay. Except for that goes against everything else they just said. Because there's one name. There's one name under heaven whereby men will be saved. And we can't get into the world system and dummy down the cost of what Jesus did when he left glory to come and bring his kingdom so that we could have reconciliation and forgiveness. We have to recognize him for who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is not just a man. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Redeemer. He came so that we could be united with him, God with us. And we need to come to him to worship him as the only true one receiving all of our worship. Hallelujah. So when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. So they came happy because they knew the star was going to lead them right to him. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child. Now, Jesus, you know, we put it all together on the manger scene, but you know, it didn't happen that way. So he is no longer a baby. When the wise men found him, they're living in a house, and he's a child. But they came on purpose. They came, and when they came in, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and they fell down, and they worshiped him. And this is how they worshiped him. They received their king by giving to him. Look at somebody and say, if you love him, you're going to bring him something. Yeah. And when they opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Amazing. I've also taught on all of what all of this means, but I'm going to break it down quickly for you today. When they brought gold, they were acknowledging him as king. Because you give gold to the king. When they brought frankincense, it is a symbol of reverence and an essence that is to be used in worship and in honor. They used it in the temple as incense before God. And myrrh was also used as incense, but it also was symbolic of his suffering and his death. And it would help prepare him for burial. So they came and they opened up all that they had, their expensive gifts. They came and they said, this is a part of our life that when we behold him, we have to do something about beholding him. You know, people are good to hear about God most of the time, but then you start talking, you start messing with them about money. You go, you ought to give to God. And they're like, "What? All I want is your money." No. All we want, a true pure shepherd who loves God, who's leading you in the right way, wants you to be blessed. And there's only one way to be blessed, and that's by giving. And if you recognize who he is, it shouldn't be a problem for you, because you should be looking for things to give to him. You should be excited. I mean, we're getting ready to go into the new year. We're going to have a first fruit offering. We should be thinking about how we are going to order our next year by our giving. And we should be excited about that, because when we give, we determine our outcome of how our life is going to look for the next year. Oh, you're talking about money? Yeah, and everything else too. Your time, your talent, your energy, and your money. Who are we serving? Somebody that wants part of you? We're serving a God that deserves every part of us, every thought that we think, every substance that we have, everything we have in our life that we can offer to give. That's what we need to give him, with not withholding anything from him. That's how we receive our King. Okay. Now, every person is able to receive him, but not everybody will. That is like the saddest part of it all. That even though Jesus came not just to live, but to die, to suffer a cruel death on the cross, to take all of our sins on him when he was sinless, to reconcile us to the Father, there are going to be people who will still reject him. The word is very clear on it. John 1:10 says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and they didn't receive him. Sometimes the sacrifice he gave doesn't work. It's available, but it only works for those who receive him. And so if people don't receive him, they choose themselves. But the good news is this, verse 12. But as many as received him. How many receivers do we have in here today? But as many as received him, to them, to us, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when we choose to receive him, we receive the power to become the sons of God, not by natural blood, but by the blood of Jesus. We become one with them. We're not born of the blood of the flesh, but of the will of God and by what he has done. Amen? Heirs, born of the promise. We have promises just like David did, just like Abraham did, just like Moses did, just like all of those that have gone before us. And now we have a greater promise because we can be one with Jesus Christ himself. Heirs according to the promise. So John, in his writing, is saying that the disciples themselves had to seize this opportunity. They received their king. Look at the next verse. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, they also received him because they acknowledged him as the promise. They acknowledged him as the only begotten Son of the Father. They were carriers. They became carriers. In their acknowledgement, they got to experience what he had promised then. When they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they got filled to the overflow of the glory of God. And they were then full of grace and truth themselves. They were carriers of it. They changed the whole world. They became like the shepherds, but with the power to back them, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, to change everything. And so we have to learn to receive our King. As they taught us to receive our King, we have to yield our life to be willing to let God have his way. All of it. We have to believe that he is the Son of God, and we need to go and take some action. We need to be beholding him. We need to see him and not just look at him. Amen? We need to be spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be carriers of, we're carriers of it, but I don't know if we're speakers of what we're carrying. Are we proclaiming him the way we're supposed to be proclaiming it? We need to receive him by worshiping him wholeheartedly, looking forward to worshiping him in our private time at home and at church. Worship isn't just singing a song. Worship is acknowledging him, wanting him, desiring him, giving him what he wants, spending time with him. Receiving him with joy. This is the best news ever and forever. Jesus, the King, has come. He's taken care of all of our sins. He's taken care of all of our sicknesses. He's taken care of all of our diseases. He's taken care of everything that concerns us. He came to give us an abundant life. He took care of the whole bag. Everything the enemy had done, he took care of it, and we need to receive that with joy. And then we need to receive our King by giving to him, by understanding that we have also a responsibility from generation to generation to generation. How will we tell them about him? How will they know without a preacher? And who's the preacher? It isn't just me. It's me, and it's you, 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 and it's every, supposed to be every mother, every father, every young adult, every teenager, every child. Because we know who he is. By acknowledging him as the promise, the only begotten Son of the Father. So, it comes down to this. Opportunity. If you haven't received him as the king, if you haven't yielded your entire life to him, not acknowledge him that he's, yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, I'm not talking about do you believe in Jesus by just saying some words. I'm talking about have you received him as your king? A king resides over his kingdom. He resides over those that belong to him. He makes decisions and decrees, but he also protects and he provides and he takes care of them. But it's up to us to decide how we're going to receive him. Are we going to offer our entire life to him? So I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to get real before God. If he came today, like in person, up close and personal, could you say that you've received him as your king? Did you offer him your whole life? Have you done anything about knowing him? Telling people about him? Are you really worshiping him? What have you offered to him? What is your Christmas list for Jesus? Have you taken action to meet him and behold him daily? Because this is your time of acknowledging that if there's something that he wants, that you are withholding from him, if there's something that you've missed in your relationship, then now is your opportunity to either dedicate your life or rededicate your life to him. Just be honest. You know, God is not surprised at anything. He knows everything about you anyway. You could tell him anything, and he'll just forgive you if you ask him to. So, Father, right now, we come before you, Lord. We know that this is the season that we see mangers and babies in the manger and we tell the Christmas story. But, Lord, we don't want to tell the Christmas story. We want to be a part of the Christmas story. Lord, in the same way that you supernaturally appeared to these people, and by the Spirit, you revealed things, and they were able to receive it. I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would move today in this place. That there would be a revelation and realization, God, of what we need to do and where we have set aside some things. Lord, that if we have missed any of the responses of receiving you really as our king, then, Lord, we ask for forgiveness right now. And, Lord, you're so good. You will always be good. You said you're faithful. You said you're just. You said that your justice does this. That it forgives us when we ask. That's the kind of king you Lord, you're calling your people to be those that understand what heirs are, that we are partakers of who you are. We are carriers. We receive you. We become containers. Containers of truth, containers of glory, containers of power to be utilized on the earth. And Lord, we don't want to waste our life. Lord, we want to give you our worship. We want to give you our life. We want to give you all that we are to become all that you knew we could be. Lord, I thank you that you're giving us a spirit plan. You're giving us an opportunity to set in front of us the things in 2020 that need to be set in order. Lord, we can tell that there's something shifting, there's something changing, because you're drawing your people to decide into decision-making periods of time where they have to draw the line of demarcation, where they're leaving things of the world behind and coming to you and into the kingdom you have provided for us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are evaluating. We're moving into the new year, Lord, with evaluation, allowing you to be the king of our hearts, for you to decide how we should be ruled by your spirit, to invite you in, to make adjustments, to know you in a way we've never known you, to love you in a way we've never loved you, to worship you at a deeper level than we ever have, to be lights like we've never shone before, to be those vessels that will bring truth, that will set people free, to be the people that will be involved in signs, wonders, and miracles, not just talk about them. But Lord, we know we have to receive you. We have to receive you. And so, Lord, we set aside all of the things that have held us back from wholehearted repentance. And Lord, we let you adjust us right now. Lord, I thank you that you're not just coming, you came. Lord, that you're not a baby in the manger anymore. But we're grateful that you were. We're grateful that you came. We're grateful that you took on flesh. That you won the victory over the enemy forever and ever. And that you're offering us the same. That you brought unity to the Father between man and God and God and man. And that you did not leave us defenseless, but you gave us empowerment. And so, Lord, we receive you. Not just a king, our king, my king. I hope you responded to that today. I hope you are responding. Because when Jesus shows up and he is here in this place, there is nothing impossible. There is nothing in your life that is too hard for him to fix. There's no sin he won't forgive. There's nothing that can keep you from him except for you. for those who call him king and walk it out with him, bringing his kingdom to pass on this earth. He is going to bring his glory through you to other people. And do you know how long that's going to last? Through eternity. So I'll leave you with really good news. Revelations 21:22. John is talking about the New Jerusalem. And he said, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That's not for them. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. And the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And do you believe if you serve a king that he's given us kingship here on the earth to rule and reign? Do you? Okay. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Not only do we get saved, not only do we get delivered, not only do we get healed, but we get to be containers receiving him, carriers of his glory. And in the last moment, when we are translated into heaven, we are those that bring the glory that he has packed on the inside of us to him, and we get to abide within all of the glory and all of the light and all of the revelation forever and ever and ever. God is looking for those people, for those who are willing to pay the price to be carriers of his glory now and throughout eternity. So we have something to rejoice over. And so instead of the thing, I want the, yeah, I do want you to come. Because we got to be excited. Now, how many of you received that word? Did anything shift in your hearts? What, just tell me if there was repentance in the room. Besides Cindy. She's our repentance queen. You know, God said to be quick to repent. When you hear something that touches your heart, repent on the spot. Don't wait. Don't think about it. Just do it. Just get right with God over and over again. And let his kingdom come. And so, oh, did you know? You knew. Okay. All right. So, you know, I've been listening to, this is what I did. I went online as I was writing this, and I listened to all the Christian worship songs. And so, you know, I like the traditional ones. They're amazing. The words to them are great. They are lifting up the name of the Lord. It's amazing. And so I listen to them and I let it get in my spirit. And then I listen to some new ones and they're really good too. And so don't limit yourself, but take advantage of the traditions that we have that really glorify the Lord. I know some people say, well, I miss the old hymns. Well, I do too, but nobody does them very well anymore. I mean, I guess we ought to dig some up and make them good again, right? So we are going to rejoice before the Lord today, and we're going to receive our King together in worship. Amen? Amen. I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? Oh, he does. And who loves them the most? All right, we're going to help them receive their King. Amen? Amen.